last week, we had the opportunity to listen, as it were, to the Apostle Paul, a seasoned Christian, a man who had been a Christian for a very long time. He was a mature follower of the Lord Jesus, and he practiced what he preached. He was the real deal. He shared with us something of his desires and his ambitions. And remarkably, he said to us, him of all people, "I want to know Jesus better. I want to know him deeper, more personally, more intimately." Even though he had been a Christian for well over 30 years, and he served God and the Lord Jesus Christ at a great cost to himself, he literally lost everything he had in this life. He then goes on to say something very interesting. And I want you to notice what that is in verses 12a and 13a. He says, "Not that I have already attained this or am already perfect." And in verse 13, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own." The NIV and the NASB translations ask, "I do not consider that I have made it my own yet." Paul says, "In spite of all my experience in the Christian life and all my dedication and my desire to know Christ, I have not arrived yet. I have not arrived yet, and I am not perfect yet." So this morning, we will think firstly about Paul saying, "I am not perfect yet, and I have not arrived yet." And then secondly, he is determined to attain it. Now, children, when we say that somebody has arrived, what does that mean? Well, it can simply mean that somebody is here or they have showed up. But there's another way of understanding that word. It could also mean that someone has achieved some level of success or they have made it big time. Now, when people talk like they have arrived yet, it could very easily be considered quite an arrogant thing to say, especially if they congratulate themselves over something that seems to be a very small victory. That can be quite arrogant. But that's not what the Apostle Paul is talking about in Philippians chapter 3. What is Paul talking about when he says in verse 12, "I have not already attained it. I have not yet made it my own. And I am not yet perfect." What is he talking about? Now, in order to answer that question, it is helpful actually to refer to last week's passage in Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through to 11 to start with. Let me read that to us. If you have your Bible, you can have a look at it. Paul says, "I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, and count them but rubbish, that I may gain Christ, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." And then he adds to those words verse 14, the passage that Neil read for us. "And attaining the goal of the prize of the upward call of God." Some translations put it this way, "the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus." Paul says he has not arrived yet. In relation to knowing Jesus Christ, gaining Christ and having Christ and all that that means. Now, we did note last week that when it comes to Jesus Christ, then there is an infinite and inexhaustible depth that we can go to in our experience of Jesus Christ. We just cannot know enough about Him. There's always more to know. No wonder the Apostle Paul spoke of the surpassing knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord, especially in comparison to everything else. They pale into insignificance, according to the Apostle Paul. Paul tells us that Jesus gave him the power to overcome sin and death, evil and demonic forces. He received Jesus' sympathy and His fellowship and His life-transforming power, especially in His suffering. He received from Him the righteousness of God and the resurrection from the dead. And then He adds to that the upward call of God to heaven. But then Paul gives this disclaimer. He says, I have yet to obtain all of what Christ has given me. I am yet to become perfect. Well, he actually never gave the impression that he was perfect and that he had arrived spiritually. So he says, I still don't know Jesus Christ as well as I can know Him. I still don't know the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in my life and in my ministry as well as I will. And I still don't have experienced the depths of fellowship that I can experience with Jesus Christ. And I still have not been changed into the image of Jesus as much as I can. There are still levels of perfection to attain. There are still sins in my life to be dealt with, and graces and virtues to develop. I have not arrived in heaven yet with my resurrected body. I still have some way to go. I am not perfect yet. Now, as Christians, we are already perfectly justified. Every Christian is placed in the right standing with God through Jesus Christ. We learned a lot about that in our evening preaching series when we looked at justification. That means that the Christian before God is spotless, because they have Jesus' righteousness given to them. They cannot possibly be more forgiven than they are already forgiven. All their sins, past, present, and future, have completely been atoned for. That is a wonderful truth for every believer to hold on to. That is how God sees it. We can never be more children of God than we currently am. But we are not perfect. Not in character, neither in conduct. Some Christians give the impression that they have arrived. There are people who think that they have sorted out all their doctrine and theology, and they know and understand almost everything there is to know and understand in the Bible. They can even stand up and they can preach about it. They have arrived doctrinally. I don't know if you know people like that. On the other hand, there are people that think that they, because they can speak in tongues And maybe they say they can prophesy and they have experienced great miracles in their lives that they are someone great. I don't know if you know somebody like that. If you don't know somebody like that, well, probably you know somebody in the next category. There are some Christians that give the impression that they never do anything wrong. And they don't have any struggles against sin. Bless them. Have you heard the story of the woman who said to the 19th century preacher Charles Spurgeon, "Mr. Spurgeon, all sin have been removed from my life." Mr. Spurgeon said, "My dear woman, you must be very proud of that." And she said, "Yes, I am." No one is perfect, you see. Even pride lurks in our hearts. Paul said, "I am not perfect." Neither does the Bible teach that we are perfect. You can go and look in your own time. Proverbs 20 verse 9, 1 John 1 verse 8, just to mention two examples of text. There's been a movement in Christianity called the Holiness Movement. I don't know if you heard of the Holiness Movement, teaching that sinless perfection is possible in this life. Well, that's unbiblical. That's not what the Bible teaches. The problem with that is it leaves people with guilt and disappointment who think that this is possible, because they themselves just can't get there. But it also leaves others with a condemning conscience, because they believe that they have achieved it. And then they try to live with the hypocrisy of reality. But the Apostle Paul says, "I have not arrived yet. I consider that I have not reached perfection," verse 13. "Brothers, I have not taken hold of it yet." One of the greatest Christians who have ever lived wasn't perfect. One of the greatest theologians and greatest missionaries claimed, or disclaimed, should I say, perfection. It is not possible for Christians to be perfect in this life. To be perfect means to be like the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, with His righteousness, not only as an inward gift, but also as an outward way of life. And it means to be in heaven with God, to be perfect. Paul recognized that he had yet to attain all that God had purposed for him and given to him in Christ Jesus, that he was still to make it his own. Getting to know Christ has brought Paul to a very different self-assessment as compared to his Pharisaic upbringing. He now didn't think of himself more highly than he ought to. And this lowly self-assessment really became a springboard for him to grow, to know Jesus Christ better. He knew he wasn't the finished article. Now, for Christians, it is true that we are not what we used to be. Praise God for that. But it is also true that we are not now what we will be. Believer in Christ, remember this for yourself. And remember this for believers around you. They are not perfect yet. Husbands, your wives are not perfect. God is still busy sanctifying them. Vice versa, for you wives, your husbands are not perfect. Children, your parents have not arrived yet. Christ is still busy with them. And let us remember, our fellow Christians here in this church are not perfect, and we should not expect them to be perfect. Let's give one another some grace, because God is not finished with us yet. In fact, He gives us a lot of grace. Paul hadn't obtained spiritual perfection, but he was determined to gain perfection and to reach the goal. Back to verse 12 and 13. Have a look at verse 12b and 13b. Paul says, "But I press on to make it my own, because Jesus Christ has made me His own." And then verse 13b. "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on," verse 14, "toward the goal of the upward prize, the call of God in Christ Jesus." Paul, I'm probably sounding like a broken record, he has not arrived yet. But he was still on his way. Two times he says, "I press forward toward the goal to lay hold of it." Paul imagined himself to be in a race. And at the end of the race, there was a prize. To be like Christ, to be with Christ, and to know Christ perfectly. What must the runner do to succeed? We all know this very well. He must focus his concentration on the finish line and drive himself or herself as hard as they possibly can, and their body will allow, straining themselves, every muscle in their body, to reach the finish line. Paul was determined to get his hands on the prize, like a runner running to gain that prize. And he has not obtained it yet, but he was determined to get it. When our boys were little, in year one, they participated in a school race. It was a 60-meter sprint. I can remember the scene. So you had all these little boys that were running a race for the first time. Some looked sideways as they were running. Some even looked behind them as they were running forwards. Some waved their hands to their mommies and daddies standing on the side. Some tripped and some fell. Many couldn't run straight in their own lanes. Some pulled out and didn't make it to the finish line when they realized they had to run 60 meters. It was by no means a straightforward race. Not everyone was focusing on one thing, that was clear: the finish line. That's now not how the Apostle Paul ran the Christian race. Verse 13 says, "One thing I do is to forget what is behind and to press on to what lies ahead." We will do well when we run the Christian life with the same mindset, just as determined as the Apostle Paul, striving every day to get nearer to that prize. Onwards and upwards, as they say, Scotty. There are some people that think these things will just happen automatically. And then they do nothing. And they become spiritually lazy, careless, and very soon purposeless. But no, that's not the way. We look to the Lord and we run after holiness. Hebrews 12:14. We fight the good fight of faith. For those who like fighting, that's a good fight. 1 Timothy 5 verse 11. And for those who wrestle, like wrestling, we wrestle against the powers of darkness. Ephesians 6 verse 12. And we struggle against sin. We struggle. We fight. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 4. And as Paul says in verse 14, we press on towards the goal, the prize of the upward call of God, the heavenly call. We go all out to know Christ better and to strive for the blessings that we have in Him in this life and also the life to come. Just think of how people devote themselves for things that they consider worthwhile. Take, for example, an Olympic athlete. How they discipline their bodies to improve their skills and their performance. And people heap praise on them, don't they? Journalists want to interview them. Everybody wants to know, what's the secret of your success? And when somebody shows total dedication to the areas of medicine or science or music or drama, people approve and they applaud them. But when people hear of someone who is doing this in the area of Christian living, then they're inclined to frown upon it. But you know what? That's okay. Don't let it bother you. It didn't bother the Apostle Paul. He says, one thing, that is reaching forward to what lies ahead. But did you hear? In order to do that, he needed to forget what laid behind. We must not waste our time and energy looking back. The athlete who keeps on looking back, you know what's going to happen to that athlete. If they don't trip and fall, they're going to struggle at the very least doing that. It's the same in the Christian life. Paul says, forgetting what is behind, I strain forward to the prize. That's where the prize is. What does that mean for us? Don't look back to your old life before you became a Christian. Beware of that former life. Don't look back with longing eyes to the life of unbelief, not knowing God. The Bible is so full of examples for believers not to do that. We just read there in Luke chapter 9 verse 62, the Lord Jesus says, he who puts his hand to the plow and keep on looking back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. The Israelites struggled to learn this lesson, especially when they were in the wilderness. How they longed for what they had back in Egypt. But Egypt was a land of slavery. And so they didn't fare very well in their wilderness wanderings. Oh, and remember Lot's wife. She had just been delivered from Sodom and Gomorrah. These places were still burning down in flames with the smoke rising up to the heavens. And what did she do? She looked back and longed for the pleasures. And then you remember what happened to Lot's wife. She changed into a pillar of salt. Do you actually believe that that's true? It is actually true. But it also means that we need to get over our past failures. This is difficult. Some people dwell so much on their past mistakes that they are not running very well in the present. Are you like that? Plagued with a memory of what you have done. Makes you feel awful. If you have confessed your sins to God, you are forgiven. Your sins have been blotted out. Don't doubt God's forgiveness for you. If an athlete runs and after the first bend falls down, what do? They get up. They get up and they run even faster to make up for the lost time. Paul had that experience. He says, I did not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And I strive all the more to serve God. If you had a bad fall in the past, don't agonize over it. And keep on going back to that and visiting it. Rather, forget it. It's nailed to the cross through Jesus' forgiveness. Let it rather make you more determined to run faster, to run after God. Paul is not saying that we should forget God's past mercies. Neither is he saying we should forget valuable lessons. But what he is saying is we should not be carried away with the past too much so that we lose focus on the goal that is in front of us. Let's close with a few points of application. First, Paul had not arrived at knowing and gaining Jesus Christ, his Lord, perfectly yet. He had not been changed fully into the image of Christ yet. He had not experienced complete victory over sin or power over death. It was coming. He was still waiting for the completion of his salvation and for the upward call of God to heaven. And he was waiting for the resurrection from the dead. In other words, he had not achieved his goal yet. But he was determined. Determined to get it. To reach it. He fixed his eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of his faith. Neil read that passage to us as a call to worship this morning. And that's the verse, Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, which is our anchor verse for in our Hebrews Bible study series. One of the hardest things for Christians to do is to maintain focus on the finish line. The finish line of our faith. So many people take the shotgun approach to the Christian life. What is that? What's a shotgun? If you don't know what a shotgun does, it shoots out a lots of pellets and then it spreads out in one shot. And it doesn't do a particularly good job of hitting the target. That's how many Christians live their lives, cluttered, distracted, fragmented, trying to find happiness and satisfaction by spreading their time and their energy over as many as possible things in the fear that they will lose out. FOMO. But Paul's example was more like a rifle approach. A rifle shoots a single bullet straight at the target. So also our passage calls us to be focused on the goal. Paul calls it the upward call of God, the heavenly call in Christ Jesus. But the reality is that we get so entangled in things in this life. Don't you think that our lives are too cluttered? Busy sometimes with so many things that easily distract us from pursuing the main goal, which is to lay hold of the things of Christ and they are of surpassing value. I think we should prioritize our lives. Maybe even drop unhelpful things. Who's willing to do that? Prioritize your life. Drop things that distract you from the main goal. But we should also free ourselves from sinful habits. Sinful habits. If Christians could just be more mindful and take seriously their own sin, not excuse it, not entertain it, not justify it, but repent of it and forsake them, because they hold us back. Our sins hold us back in the race, the Christian race. Why not streamline and simplify our lives a bit more? Now, if you're not a Christian this morning, maybe there's somebody who isn't a Christian. Do you realize that you're also running a race? And there is a prize at the end of that race. Do you know what that is? Well, I can tell you what it won't be. It won't be the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that race and that prize. It won't be fellowship with Jesus Christ. It won't be the resurrection from the dead and the call of God to heaven. It won't be any of those things. A race without Jesus Christ offers no peace, no grace, no salvation. And it doesn't lead to the kingdom of God. It only leads to death and destruction. So, if you're running that race, why not quit? Quit the race. Why? Because Christ laid hold of Paul, who called himself the worst of sinners. And therefore, he can lay hold of you too. Jesus Christ can lay hold of anyone, even the worst of sinners. What I would do if I was in that situation, I think the Bible tells us that we should confess our sins before God. Confess. Confess your sin. Forsake it. Reject it completely. Then run after Jesus Christ. Look to Him. Run flat out. Make up for the lost time. Fix your eyes on Jesus. And run for all you're worth. That's a fairly straightforward thing to do, isn't it? Anyone can do that. Arise in church. Let us press on towards the goal of the Christian life. That is actually mature thinking. That's what Paul says in verses 15 and 16. Christ has made me His own, and I will make what He has given to me my own. Hold on to that. That's a very mature way to think of the Christian life. Because it is just a matter of time. It's just time. And then you will attain it. As Paul said earlier in his letter, God who began a good work will complete it in Christ Jesus. Until the day of the Lord. It's just a matter of time. So, we have not arrived, but we will arrive. Let us strive forward to gain the prize, and we shall, by God's grace.